Okay, let's do it.
Yes, I think charge is going in for you, sure.
Okay, so let's begin with the Mishnah on Daf Bei Lamed Aleph. Let's just go through the Mishnah quickly. I'll make a couple of Ha'aruf. And then we'll move on to the Mishnah on Sadi Vav Mebeis for a second. Okay, so Q, why don't you take the Mishnah away for us? You have a Gemara?
Yep.
Let's go the first half of the Mishnah quickly.
Okay. So you have two yitziot which are four within two yitziot which are four outside, whatever that means. Ketzad. Ha'aniyo meid b'chutz u'v'al ha'bayit b'fnim. Hashat ha'aniyot yado l'fnim v'natam l'toch yado sh'v'al ha'bayit o sh'natam mitoch av yotzi ha'ani chayav u'v'al ha'bayit patur.
So who's doing the malacha here?
The ani.
Alright, so he's doing what's significant?
One action is hachmi. Well, I don't know who you call hachnasa outside. One time, he doesn't move his position. It depends which way the object is going.
Okay, but what's he doing? He's doing the whole malacha, which is defined by what here?
Akira and hanacha.
So an akira in one rishas and a hanacha in another rishas, and presumably a chila for shuyos in between. Right, the object is changing positions in the middle. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have the case of the balabayas.
Hashad balabayi diriro lachutz imatam etok yado shahani.
Okay. So this is the inverse case with the Baal HaBayis. So what are the Rishonim bothered by here? Let me just read the Mishnah. At least that half of the Mishnah.
What specifically?
Yeah.
Why do we need both?
Why do we need the same case of if the principle which right you just outlined is true, that you have an Akira and one Rishos and a Hanach and another Rishos by the same person of Chila for Shios is true, and what's the distinction between the case of the Baal HaBayis and the case of the Ani? Either way, you have an Akira and a Hanach and a Chila for Shios in between. So what do the Rishonim explain? So they point to Malacha Gruhi. But why? The fact that it's Malacha Gruhi still assumes something, right? If they're identical cases, right, meaning they're similar kinds for all the pertinent Mechaivim of Hotzah, then there's no reason why you should have to list the case twice. Malacha Gruhi assumes that there's something that I know about one from what that I there's something I would infer from one case that I wouldn't expand, I wouldn't generalize for the other case.
Right.
So what's that principle, or what's the distinction in the cases?
Depends, I guess, if you want to tell you anything for pasukim is a possibility.
Okay, so maybe you have one pasuk already that's referring to the hotzah of the Baal HaBayis, and a different pasuk that's referring to the hotzah of the ani. Now that also assumes that there's some sort of fundamental difference, because otherwise why would I need one pasuk to tell you one case and another pasuk to tell you another case? Good. So what did the Rishonim start to... what's the svara, the rationale that they start to point to?
I'm not 100% sure exactly
what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Not 100% sure exactly.
Yeah, I can start like saying information, but like, I don't
know. So why? What's the difference between the Ani and the Baal HaBayis? No, but there is a case of Hotza and Achnasa for the Baal HaBayis, and there's a case of Hotza and Achnasa for the Ani. Oh, you're right. I mean, there are really two different kinds of cases here. There's one distinction that the Mishnah makes already in the first half, within the case of the Ani, and that's the distinction between Hotza and Achnasa. Is the object starting off in the Rishus HaYachid and ending off in the Rishus HaRabim, which presumably would be Hotza, or is the object starting off in the Rishus HaRabim and ending off in the Rishus HaYachid, which would be Achnasa?
Are you talking about what was done
in
the Mishkan?
No. Well, maybe what's done in the Mishkan, but let's hold off on that for a second. So that's one distinction. Hotzah versus Hachnasa. But still, the Mishnah then goes a step further and gives us the case of the Baal HaBayis, which is also two cases of Hotzah and Hachnasa. Right, so let's assume that it's true that I wouldn't have known Hotzah from Hachnasa. I wouldn't have known Hachnasa from Hotzah. But what's the distinction between the Ani and the Baal HaBayis? Pinchas, what do you think?
Presumably whose object it is. Because one of
the... ownership?
Maybe not play a role.
Okay. What is the Rashba and the... So the Rashba and Daf Bez already just points to the difference. What?
Could you argue Tzorech?
Tzorech?
Yeah. Yeah, like the Talton versus
the... That for what?
Like the Talton versus Hotzah. Meaning that like...
That what?
I don't really know.
Alright, we'll give you time, you're back. That's the important thing.
Yeah,
So maybe the Rishon of the Rashba here already points to the fact it's a different motion, right? Are you pulling the object away from you? Are you pushing the object away from you, or are you pulling the object to you? So not only is there a distinction in terms of did the object start off in the Rishus HaYachid and end up in Rishus HaRabim, or did it start off in Rishus HaRabim and end up in Rishus HaYachid, which is the Hotzah HaKnasa distinction, there also seems to be some importance, according to the Rashba, and we'll see which Rishon and build that up, in terms of is the object being moved farther away or closer to the person doing the action.
So that's a distinction, again, within the Ani case and within the Baal.
That's an internal distinction within the Ani and the Baal HaBayis case. So for the Ani, let's say the Ani's HaKnasa is being marchik, the object, because he's standing outside and he's pushing it inside.
Yeah.
So it's hachnasa, that's marchik. Okay, so that's an internal distinction, yeah.
Just a clarification. Does everyone assume hotza and hachnasa is referring to the rishuyot?
No. We'll see that. Some people don't assume that. We'll get there. So this is very strange. So these are just two distinctions. Then we have the last case in the Mishnah. Pasha ad anyas yad lifnim. Got it? The last case in the Mishnah. Pasha da ani yaseh adolif nim. Okay. So what do we have? Two cases of Peturim in the end of the Mishnah. So what's the basis for the Petur?
You have two people doing one person does Akira, one person does Hanachah.
Good. So one person is doing the Akira and the other person is doing the Hachnasa. So is this Aser? Is it Mutter?
Pater.
Seems like it's Pater, right? Pater, and Pater connotes that it's also Aser. So you're not Chayav Chatas, but there's an Iser. So the question is, what's the Iser? And the question is, why is there a Petur? So let's start with the last question. Why is there a Petur? Do we know why?
Wasn't
there
one person.
So there's no Akira and Hanacha. So what's the problem with that? Is that a problem of that there was no Maisa Avera whatsoever? So you didn't do any Malacha on Shabbos, so there's nothing to be Mechayev before. Or do we view this as a case of where you did a Maisa Avera, you just didn't do enough of it to be Mechayev you? So for example, is this like doing Bone on Chatzi Shir? Or is this like doing Zoreya on Chatzi Shir? Or is this like not having done anything? Or put differently, do we view the Akira and the Hanacha when it comes to Hotzah as being definitional to the very Malacha? Or do you view it simply as being a shear in how much of the malacha was done? Now that's obviously going to tie into a very related question about our definition of hotza. What is the actual malacha? So what do you say, Gabe? Why does this take a stance on whether and what the actual malacha is?
Well, we could do a nice hotza distinction. If you think that meaning akira and malacha are just the shear, but in the day, right? There's a totsa of totsa mirchus lirchus. It doesn't matter whether you've done a maisa shleima, there's still going to be some miser.
But I mean, even just in characterizing the components of totsa, like within akira, hanacha, and chilaf rishuyos. What do you think, Mikey?
What do you mean by the components?
I want to know. So when one person does the akira, the other person does the hanacha. Mm-hmm. So do you view that as a malacha was done? Well, let's put it this way. I did a malacha. I did akira. I did a malacha. I just didn't do enough of the malacha to finish, to be chayiv. Or did I say that an akira itself is really nothing? It's inconsequential until hanacha is done. No malacha Shabbos was done.
It's hard to say.
Jeremy, what do you say?
I feel like if there was like a chatzi shir type of thing, then Horios would have mentioned that possibility.
Okay. Come on, Horios, that's clever. But I would say, in terms of what's the mechayiv of the malacha, there are two or three components: akira, hanacha, and chila for shuyos. So, which is the important part? Is the malacha really in the akira? And you view the akira as being the mechayiv, but you're only chayiv for the akira with a tenai that there also is a hanacha. But you view the akira itself as already being part of the malacha. Or do you say no? The real mechayiv maybe is the hanacha. You're only chayiv for the hanacha tonight that there's some sort of akira. Or do you say no? The akira and the hanacha are equally distributed in terms of the significance of malachas hotzah. And until both of those are done by the same person, there's no room to mechayiv somebody whatsoever, or even talk about a malachas Shabbos of hotzah. We'll see. That's going to be a discussion in the Rishonim that we're going to have to confront. This is our first. This is the first Mishnah on Beis Amidah. If you turn to the Mishnah on Sadi Vav Mibes, so there we get our second, or the Mishnah's second presentation of Melachas Hotzah. Yeah.
In those three options, you didn't mention Chiluf Rishuyos.
Right. So a possibility would be to say also is that the real Mechayev is Chiluf Rishuyos, changing from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Arabim. But we could only be Mechayev for that transfer of Rishuyos with the condition that there's an Akira and Hanacha in different Rishuyos.
Or, like, we're not sure who's done that. Who's done the Chiluf Rishuyos?
There's no one to attribute the Chiyuv to. Mm-hmm. But we'll see, there are cases where you could isolate the Chiluf Rishuyos, the Adon Akira Hanacha, from one person. So what's the critical point in time? When do you view the Zman HaIsser as transpiring? B'shas Akira, B'shas Anacha, when the object changes Rishuyos in between? I'll give you just a concrete nafkamina to think about. Let's say somebody does Hotzah on Shabbos. They shoot an arrow on Shabbos. That's Zorek. It's a Tolda of Hotzah. And while the arrow's flying, so it hits something in the air and rips someone's clothes that are on a clothing line in the air. So would you say, Kim Le B'drab Mine? Do you say that while the arrow's in the air, so you're involved in Melechah Shabbos. Let's say the cloth is right over the Rishus HaYachad, Rishus HaRabim line. So do you say, Kim Lebejamine, that while he did the Avera of destroying someone's property, he was involved in Isra Hotzah B'Shabbos, and then he's Pater for the Nezikin? Or would you say that, no, the Shas Isra Shabbos is B'Shas Akir or B'Shas Hanacha. What happens in between is irrelevant information. And you won't say, Kim Lebejamine. So what about that kind of a case? Where is the critical point of the Mechayev? Let's look at the Gemara on Sadi Vav Mibet. I assume you saw the Gemara already. The Mishnah on Sadi Vav Mibet Aleph. So here a very interesting Gemara, and this is the way we read this Gemara is going to determine how we characterize the Isser of Melechas Hotzah on Shabbos. So Chana, you want to read the Gemara? Sadi Vav Mibet? From the beginning, Mehdi. Good. So what's this case? So here the Gemara is telling us we have a source from Melechas of Hotzah. Right, where's the Pasuk? Or what's the Pasuk referring to? Yeah.
Donations to the Mishkan.
So what's the Ayasu od melacha lechumas hakodesh vayikali ha'am mehavi? And the Gemara explains that Moshe is standing in Rishus Harabim, and everyone's coming from the Rishus Hayachid. Moshe is telling them, don't bring in more things. Don't carry things from Rishus Hayachid to the Rishus Harabim. That's a good source for the Melacha of Hotzah. So how do you, just from reading that pasuk, what would you say, Chana? Does this source tell us anything about the Isra of Hotzah on Shabbos? What? Okay, why? You have to squeeze the pasuk for information.
Right.
What would you try to take out of it?
I guess if you're assuming this is actually the pasuk of the Mishkan.
Okay.
Then I guess you could say that like actually bring stuff to the Rishu or the Rishu from other Rishu would be a problem.
Okay, so is this related to the building of the Mishkan that would fall in with the other Lama Tesma? That's fair point. Jeremy, what were you going to say?
Yeah, it seems more of a problem with Akira, because it seems more of a problem than just bringing it from their Rishut and not necessarily putting it down anywhere.
Yeah, but presumably if they brought it, they weren't going to hold it the entire time. Presumably if they came into the Machan Levi, they had to put it down somewhere.
Okay.
What's not clear from the Pasuk, or what the Gemara is trying to derive from the Pasuk? Gabe, what do you want to say?
I don't know. It doesn't have anything to do with Shabbos. But that's a different problem.
That's the next line of the Gemara, though. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. How do I know this is happening on Shabbos? Okay, so let's read that line in the Gemara. Go on, Fana. Good. Right, don't bring from Rosh Hashanah and into Rosh Hashanah. Right, how do you know this whole story occurred on Shabbos? Maybe it happened on a weekday, and then you won't know anything about Isra Malacha of Hotza on Shabbos. And the reason why he told them to stop is why? Yeah, they had enough. Sigmar says, no. Gamar Havara Havara Miyama Kippurim. Use the same word of Bayaviru. It says Havara Bayam Kippur. So, like Siv Hacha Bayaviru called Machne, Siv Hasam Havart Shavar Shura, Mal Halam Biyam Asar, Afkam Biyam Asar. Just like Yom Kippur is a prohibited day, Shabbos is also a prohibited day, so it must be a Yom Kodesh. Fair. What's the Gemara trying to bring out from the Pasuk? So good, it's Shabbos. Good, he told him to stop to bring. But what does this show you? All the Rishonim are bothered by this question on Beis Amid Aleph. Sorry. Hotza Malacha Gruahi. So he asks, so is it a Malacha? Or is Hotza not a Malacha? So what does this Pasuk show you? Al Yasu Od Malacha L'Malechas HaMish L'Tshumas HaKodesh V'Yikali Ameh Havi. So is the Pasuk telling you that Hotza is a Malacha? Or is the Pasuk telling you that Hotza is just Asr on Shabbos? What do you gain? What do you learn from this pasuk? What? But is melacha referring to the hotza? What?
No, melacha is just referring to the fact that we finished the mishnah.
Okay, so Rachel thinks that the pasuk is not referring to melachas hotza. It's just saying that we don't need to do any more melacha, so don't bring things to the mishkan. But the bringing itself is not defined as a melacha; it's just aser. Right? Fair. I agree. It's good. Who disagrees? With that, on this Gemara, Rabbi Nochanan. So first of all, he's quoted in Tosfos. So look at Tosfos Dibur Maschil Umimai, second Tosfos, Tarivam Mebeis Umimai Dibur Shabbos Kai. Rabbi Nochanan lo garas kol ze ad Ashkechan Hotzas. Rabbi Nochanan's Gemara didn't have the girsa starting from Dilma B'chol Kai. According to our Gemara, the Gemara's first step is to say, how do you know that Hotza is Aser? How do you know that Hotza is from by Aviru Kol B'machane? And then the Gemara says, well, how do you know that's on Shabbos? Maybe that's on a weekday. So the Gemara says, because of Havar Havar. But according to Rabbi Nochanan, it's not true. Why? D'ha afilu b'chol kai nafka le'shapir d'hotza melachahu. Even if the Pasuk wasn't referring to Shabbos, you'd still learn out from the Pasuk that Hotza is called a melacha. So it's true, maybe the Pasuk was talking about a weekday, and Moshe is telling them we don't need anything else, but you see that he's still referring to Hotza as a Malacha. So according to Rabbi Nochanan, the limud in the Gemara is that Vayaviru kol b'machne vayikali ame havi, because al yasa od Malacha l'tshumas hakodesh, that's precisely because Malacha is defined as a Malacha. That Hotza is defined as a Malacha. According to our Gersa in the Gemara, so the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, and you don't know that it's defined as a Malacha from the Pasuk, like Rachel said. And Mela, you need a separate lemur in the Gemara to tell you that it's talking about Shabbos. But what emerges is an important machlokes as to whether Hotza is Aser B'toras Melacha, whether Hotza is just Aser B'toras Exeris HaKasav of Vayikali Ameh Havi. There's no need for anything else. This is really nice. Now, there's an ambiguity in the Gemara whether or not Hotza is a Melacha, exactly what the Rishonim are kind of playing around with on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Whether Hotza Melacha Gruah, he means it's not a Melacha or it's a weaker Melacha. So it works in very nicely. Then the Gemara inside Yvelman Base poses another question. Ashkechan Hotza, Hachnasa Minalan. So that Pasuk tells you that they're taking from Rishus HaYachid, from their private property, into the Rishus of Moshe. That's going from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim. So how do you know Hachnasa? So the Gemara says Svarahi. Right? Rachel, you want to take over the Gemara?
Ashkechan Hotza, Hachnasa Minalan, Svarahi.
Okay. This is very interesting. What's going on here? Here the Gemara is saying that there's a distinction between Achnasa and... I mean, you learn out Achnasa from Hotza, Why? Because what's critical is the
act of transferring.
Yeah, the transferring of Rishus. Rishus Lirshus. So what do I care whether it's going in or going out? That assumes that the Mechayev is some sort of just Rishus transition. But yet, the Gemara seems to acknowledge that Hachnasa is only a Tolda. For some reason, Hotza is more important. Okay, so go on.
If they're both, why give them different statuses?
And what's the nafkamina of something being an av and something being a tolda? Is that if you do a tolda me'in av, behalam echad, you're chayv once. If you do two avos, you're chayv shtayim. And how many chataos are you chayv? Fine. Then the Gemara says, so why do you call one an av? Why do you call one a tolda? Hach to have the mishkan chashiva kar le'av. The thing that appears in the mishkan, that's going to be called an av, and the thing that doesn't appear in the mishkan is going to be called a tolda. So it seems from this Gemara, at least until here, that hotza is the av malacha. We're not sure if it's considered a malacha, whatever, it's the av. And hachnasa is a tolda. Why is hachnasa secondary to hotza? That we have to figure out. And is that agreed according to everybody that hachnasa is somehow of a lower status? You see that a lot of the Rishonim don't like that. Good. So just skip down to the bottom, before the two dots of the Gemara. So the last line before the two dots on the third wide line of the Gemara says, "V'su ma'avir dalat amos b'rishus rabbi milalan d'mechayiv." I'll call dalat amos b'rishus rabbi Gemara gemirila. How do you know that you're chayiv for walking four amos in rishus rabbi? The Gemara says, "Halachal Moshe Misinai." You have a Kabbalah that you're chayiv for every dalat amos in rishus rabbi. So this last line throws a bit of a wild card into the mix of hotza. The Mishnah on Daf Beis tells us, "Hotza nachnasa de'ani hotza nachnasa de'balabayis." Now the Gemara introduces that there's also a concept of Dalet Amos Prishus Arabim. What?
You're
a Yeah. Hey, you're a for Dalet Amos Prishus Arabim. Okay? Why? Why is that say? What does that add to our picture of Hotza? What does it tell us about the Hotza Nachnasa? Okay.
Well, there doesn't seem to be a Chilip for Shios here, because, right, or at least, like, it doesn't appear to be a Chilip.
Yeah, presumably there's no Chilip for Shios over here.
And there is a notion that Arba Shadam is like a Rishus
Okay, so one second. I don't know if it's Rishus Yachid or like some sort of Rishus. Right, we'll see. But this doesn't have anything to do on the surface with Dalet Amos, with Chiluf Rishuyos. Now, maybe we'll see some Rishonim try to bring it back into the camp of Chiluf Rishuyos. Who does that? I didn't find the Marmakomos, but if you know off the top of your head, it's pretty good. So if you look at the Balam Or on the riff in the beginning of Perek HaZorek, right here. So it's on, I'm not sure what the equivalent to Ndapi Arif is, but it's the beginning of Azorik in the Rif. So you'll see the Baal HaMor, it says it very nicely. Rachel, you have it? Great, yes, you got it. Great, so Qus, why don't you tell us? Ooh, okay, so all Dalet Amos and Rishus Rabim is Lach Moshe Misinai, and it's a tolda of the Kulu toldos of Rishus Rishus Rabim. Then, good. So it's a tolda of Hotza Nachnasa. Good. Okay, so this is a very, very strong formulation, very similar to what Gabe just said. That we have a concept in halacha that if something falls within your sphere of influence of Dalet Amos, so that's your kinyan. You could be kone something in that area. Okay?
In all the Erevin, if you walk out of your rishus, you can't walk.
Okay, so Erevin we'll get to in a second. Erevin may be just an extension of this halacha. Well, I'm going to talk about Erevin in a second.
Not in terms of carrying Erevin, in terms of walking.
Tchumen. Yeah. We're going to talk about Tchumen.
You think it's an extension of this?
Maybe.
Okay.
Okay, we'll see. So the Baal HaMor says we have this concept of like a personal ownership over your own four amos. Maybe Dalet Amos Prishus Rabim is just an extension of Chilif Rishuyos, like Gabe was saying. You said a little too strongly.
Wouldn't that Rishus just move with you?
What?
Wouldn't that, like, why are you always...
Right, so it's very strange. It's very strange that he views this as it gets stuck and then you move and then it starts again. It's a little tricky.
Well,
What?
Zorik,
right, Zorik would be fine, but what about Havara? Havara, Dalai Lama's Precious Rabim, would be a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
Right? We'll see. The Gemara has a machlokes about Holech Ka'omei Dami. When you walk, is that like standing, or is that like. Is that like every. When you walk, so every step, that's considered Akira Nahanacha, Akira Nahanacha? Right? So there's. So the shaila is, if that's true, if Holech is Ka'omei Dami, then how do you ever violate Dalai Lama's Precious Rabim? What? You never really what? There's never an akira and hanacha. You need an akira from the beginning of Dalet and a hanacha on the end of Dalet. So if you hold holich is komei dummies, then how do you ever have Dalet Amos for Shester Abim? So the Gemara says you might only have it bekvitza. If you jump Dalet Amos, then you have an akira from one side and a hanacha on the other side. So I think Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, so if that's true, so we're mevatel tkiya shofar because of achshash shema yikfutz Dalet Amos for Shester Abim. Right? Just walk normally and you'll never have achshash. So it's a little hard to understand what exactly is the relationship between Dalet Amos Precious Rabim and Hotza and Achnasa. Okay. So that's the overview of the Malachos of Hotza. Those are the different aspects of Hotza. Fine. When we step back a little bit, so we're not just struck by the different aspects of Malachas Hotza, the Akira, the Hanacha, the relationship to Dalet Amos, is it called the Malacha, is it not called the Malacha? There's also something strange about how the Gemara presents it. Right, we saw that Hotzah appears in the Mishnah on Daf Beis, and yet it's the last on the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel. So first of all, who doesn't have Hotzah as last in his Girsa on Ayin Gimel? V'Yireh. Right, he reversed Hotzah with Makav Patish, and that seems a lot more befitting. Right, Makav Patish seems to be the Gemara Kol Melacha, Rashi said. So it makes sense that Hotzah is a stage before Makav Patish. So Hotzah is not going to be the last. According to our Girsa, though, Hotzah is last, and yet it's at the very beginning of the Masechta. Toso suggested two answers as to why Hotzah is at the beginning of the Masechta. Right? What do we, Rachel, what are his two answers?
Chaviv Olay, isn't
it
three?
Three answers, that's true.
Chaviv Olay, Zibalacha Grua. And the third one. He just said sometimes it happens that
Masech
that's there
out of
order. That would
right.
Be
weird, yeah. So one of them is that Hotzah is Chaviva, because you learn a lot of halachos from it. Or Hotzah is a Malacha Gruahi, and therefore we have to teach it right away. So why does Malacha Gruahi give it first status in the Gemara?
Get the worst over first.
What?
Get the worst over first.
Okay, so maybe that's what he has in mind. Or that maybe you thought it wouldn't be significant at all, so to kind of compensate, so the Mishnah puts it in the very beginning.
I mean, you're saying Gruah has to do with, like, its importance. I don't necessarily know that's a good reading of it.
Okay, how do you read Gruah?
Gruah seems to be, like, that it's, like, has, like, a weaker status, and that, like, it's harder to prove. It's, like, kind of a little bit more ambiguous.
But once...
So Gruah and its clarity, Gruah and, like, how you prove it, so you kind of, like, put it first to, like, right. Compensate for that.
Very possible. We'll see. Next, on Sunday... We're going to go through all the different definitions of Malacha Gruahi. How exactly do you find it? Does it stem from an internal problem in Hotzah, or is it because it doesn't have the properties of all the other Malachos have? So that we'll discuss.
I think simply from pedagogical view that you'd want to teach people about it because it'd be like shock to hear. You can't do this.
Shock value.
In other words, there are people. Not this is a serious thing. People who grow up in places where they ruvim don't know that Hotzah exists.
Right.
Not to say that this is the case. The Gemara is talking to those people, but right. That is sort
of. I have yet to see somebody drop dead from Pasha to Ani as Yadol Lefnim.
But I
definitely hear where you're coming from. No, right. It's definitely much more surprising, and you'll see there are people who suggest that in a little bit of a different vein, so we'll get to that. So let's talk about Hotzah's relationship for a second. So there could be a different reason for Hotzah being in the beginning, and that is that it's the most encompassing of all the Malachos. Not necessarily in the sense that it has the most Halachos, but maybe it has... It throws its canopy the farthest. I mean, it includes a lot of Halachos Shabbos under its net. So here you find a very interesting relationship between Muktzah and Tiltol, and Hotzah. The Meiri, in his Hakdama to Masechet Shabbos, explains that Hotzah is first because of this reason. I don't know if anybody has the Meiri or has his formulation. Yeah. You could do it. Meiri says, you know why it's first? Because it includes all the dinim of Kiltov HaHotzah. That's about all he says, actually. V'hizchil b'rosh ha-mesach le-bzeh v'hiktim Hotzah l'shar melachos mitzad she-rov inyanei Shabbos tuluyim ba. Most of the halachos of Shabbos depend on Hotzah. Machma she-kolelas Hotzah, zrika hoshata, havaras tal ramos b'rishos ha-rabim. V'chein kolelas yidiyas ha-rishuyos, rishos ha-rabim, rishos ha-yachid, karmelas, mokum p'tur. V'chein kol dine tilto. All the halachos of Muktzah fall under the iser of Hotzah. Then he says again, V'af b'shar ha-prakim, and even the other prakim, not just the first parak, dvarim mifuzar mimenu, are scattered manifestations of Hotzah, shakol masha amru b'tiltol etzim, v'avanim u'muktzah, v'kayotze behem kulam inyanim nitlim b'hotzah. All of these halachos depend on Hotzah. That's a very interesting association. What does Hotzah have to do with tiltol? What does Hotzah have to do with Muktzah? So what do we see? So who discusses this question? Relationship between Hotzah and Muktzah?
There's a Gemara that's...
Excellent. So you have a Gemara. You have two explicit Gemaras. You have a Gemara in Beitza, on Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara, running through the Shach Vatari, so the Gemara suggests that maybe the Machloket, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai have Machloket, but whether you could carry Sifrei Torah and whether you could carry Chumashim on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel says yes, Beis Shammai says no. So at first the Gemara thought they're arguing, what we discussed last week, about whether Erev HaHotzah le-Yom Tov, Ein Erev HaHotzah le-Yom Tov. They're arguing whether there's an Erev HaHotzah b'chlal when it comes to Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, if that's true, let them argue about Tiltol. Why are they arguing about actual HaHotzah? Let them argue about Tiltol Avanim. What do you mean? Why should they argue about Tiltol Avanim rather than carrying a Sefer Torah? So what does Rashi and Beitza explain? Right. Rashi explains that all of Tiltol is Mishum Hotzah. What does it mean that all of Tiltol is Mishum Hotzah? Right. Can't carry around things on Shabbos as a chashash that Shemi will bring it outside of its rishos. So that's a huge expansion of Melechas Hotzah. Now you might say it a little sharper. You might say, Kol de Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Doraisa Tikkun. It's not just like a formal gzera, but maybe we view a lot of these cases of tilto as already being not just atu gzera atu hotzah, but maybe a form of tchilas hotzah. Maybe you view it already as the beginning of hotzah. Maybe the whole notion of an akira, without a hanacha, picking up the object in one rishus, maybe already that's already the beginning of a maisa of hotzah. We'll have to see how serious is this connection.
That's what Rashi says on Beitza all the time. He says tchilas.
Oh yeah, you have the formulation there? Very good.
Yeah.
What does he say?
Tchilat Hotzah Yidei Tiltol.
Right. Tchilat Hotzah is Yidei Tiltol. So does Rashi mean that's Rashi and Lamed Zayin and Aleph?
Mm-hmm.
And Beitza. And maybe Tiltol is already the beginning of Melechas Hotzah, and that would put the emphasis on the Akira. We'll see Rashi and Daf Gimel. And Shabbos also seems to play up the Akira relative to the Hanacha. Tosus doesn't like it. We'll see that over here in Daf Gimel. Comes up also in the Gemara in Kuf Chav Dalad and Beis, where the Gemara says, the tilto gufe lav mishum hotzahi. After all, isn't the halacha of tilto just mishum hotzah? That's a very fascinating relationship. The Gemara on kuf tezayin mebeis over here in Shabbos, the Gemara contrasts the iser of carrying a sefer Torah with its cover with the case of skinning the Karban Pesach further than you need to. Gemara on kuf tezayin mebeis in Shabbos. And the Gemara refers to carrying something. The Gemara refers to carrying something in a Carmelis, and Rosh Hashanah Drabanan as tiltol. The Gemara says Hasam tiltol hacham melacha. The Gemara is upset about the analogy in the Gemara. Take a look after this in Kufta Zayin Beis. The Gemara distinguishes between a case of melacha and tiltol. So the Rashba here in Kufta Zayin Beis says this is a case of hotzah. And Rosh Hashanah Rabban Darabanan. So why does the Gemara refer to it as Tiltol? Tiltol is usually referred to as Muktzah. In fact, Rashi on the Gemara understands the Gemara differently because of the word Tiltol. He assumes it's a Muktzah Gemara. But the Rashba says no. Maybe like the Gemara in Beitza on Lamed Zayin and the Gemara in Kuf Chaf Dalet and Beis says that Kol Tiltol is Mishum Hotzah. So the Gemara just refers to Hotzah Drabanan sometimes as Tiltol. The Gemara has the same word for Hotzah Drabanan as it has for Muktzah. How significant is that? Who seems to not buy into this whole approach on the surface? This whole connection between Tiltol and Hotzah?
Rambam.
The Rambam. What does the Rambam do? The Rambam, in the end of Perek Chavdalet of Hilchos Shabbos, so Gabe, I see you have it. So why don't you read Chavdalet, is it Yud Gimel? That sound right?
Yud
Beis. Yud
Beis. Sure. Asr Chachamim Matata makes us Dvarim. Shabbos Kedach Sheoseh Lechol. Mpneiman Nago Biser Zeh. Amru.
Good.
Umayim Hizir Nevi'im Vitzivu Shelo Yehi Luchach B'Shabbos Ki Luchach Lechol Lulu Sichas HaShabbos Ki Sichas Lechol.
Beautiful, right? So how does the Ram explain the Isser of Tiltol? Not on the basis of Hotzah, but on the basis of Hakir. Mimtzo chafatzecha v'daber davar. Right? So you should have a shvisa hanikares. Because it's possible to be keep Shabbos without doing any malacha, you can sit in your home and have a nice time. So you need a way of making the shvisa nikar, so that it's pellucidly clear why you're being shoves. So Rambam says that's why they threw in an iser of tiltol. So you shouldn't carry around the kelim that you usually carry around on Shabbos. All the notes of the kelim are very upset. Right, the Ravid there says, what's the Ravid say?
Would it be a malacha then?
Would it be a malacha?
Yeah.
No. It seems like it's this or drabanan of tiltol, muktzah.
Okay.
It wouldn't even be part of the mitzvah saseh daraisa of Shabbos. But the Rambam codified the saseh of Shabbos in Chaf Aleph Aleph. Here in Chavdalet, it sounds like these are all the Rabbanan. Okay. But it's Misum Shvisa Hanikara, so that it should be clear that you're being Shoves. So what does the Ravid ask? Yeah.
Amar Avram, Odamru, Atu Tilta Lab, Sarah, Odamru, Bimin Nechame Ben.
Good, that's fine. Why does the Rambam create this new reason of Mishum Shvisa? After all, the Gemara said that Tilta is Mishum Hotzah. So where did the Rambam get this whole rationale of Vidavar Davar? So where does it come from? The Ramach asked the question. The Ramach is very upset also. You have the Ramach and the Frankel there on the right side?
Mm-hmm.
What does he say? Also, same question.
Where did
the Rambam get it from? The Gemara says, Mishum Hotza. So what do you think? Yeah, what do you think? Achal, what do you think?
I'm thinking.
Thinking. Good. Q, what do you think?
Unsatisfying.
Yeah, what does Migdalo say?
He really means this and other reasons too. He's like
Lav Dafka.
Yeah.
Alright, Lav Dafka this reason.
I don't know, maybe you can distinguish the types of Tiltol,
Mukta.
I haven't looked at all the parts,
but you have Tiltol
because of Mukta. But I don't know if the Rambam mentions that anywhere, does he?
No, I don't think so. Okay,
so that's
what I'm
saying.
Ruins my thinking,
man.
Ruins your thinking.
He does from
Rabbi Levi. Rambam?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you want to say?
So that, like, it's not, I'm, like.
You think it's also like a Hotzah?
Yeah.
It's still related to Hotzah, even though he gives rationale of Vidabar Dabar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very nice. It's very nice.
If you want to go further with that idea about Hotzah being the most encompassing malacha, so then it makes sense what's going on here.
Very nice, Pinchas.
Right.
So you should show up more often.
Yeah.
You should get to grace us with your wisdom as such. That's a very nice idea. So that's what my father wants to suggest in the Rambam. Everyone says, how did the Rambam know this? The Gemara said that Tiltol is Mishum Hotzah. But
Rashi, though.
What?
I think it's Rashi
that says it. No, the Gemara says it in Beitza. The Gemara says it in Beitza. Yud Beis. The Gemara says it in Beitza Lamed Zayin. I mean, Tosas argues on Rashi's interpretation in Beitza. That's true. But the Gemara in Kuf Chav Dalet and Shabbos says Atu Tiltol La Mishum Hotzah. And the Gemara in Beitza Lamed Zayin seems to say it. So my father wanted to suggest, very nicely, is that everyone's attacking the Rambam for saying that it's not Mishum Hotzah. Maybe the Rambam Dafka understood that this is Mishum Hotzah. And it's not a coincidence that the Masechta starts with Hotzah, and that most of the dinim that are brought down in Masechta Shabbos are extensions of Melechas Hotzah. And that lies, or that difference is accounted for, in what all the Rishonim are pointing out, that there's something grua about Melaches Hotzah. It doesn't have the normal structure of the other Melachos. The other Melachos are very defined. They have a specific definition. Bona, Soser, Kose Bezosios, Oreg. The Isser of Hotzah is the most, it's the least defined, and it's the most encompassing of all the Isserim of Shabbos. And also, what it includes is not just building something or creating something. We'll see that some Rishonim see that as the important distinction between Hotzah and the other Malachos. We'll see that next week. But that the Isser of Hotzah is actually a Shvisa Sagavra. It's telling you not to leave from, or not to go from one Rishus to another Rishus carrying something. So if there's one malacha that essentially is mechayev shvisa on Shabbos, it's the malacha of Hotzah. The Gur Aryeh, the Maral, in his Perish to Masechta Shabbos, so on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first thing he comments on the Gemara is that he thinks the Masechta starts with Iser Hotzah, because if there's one malacha that tells you that there's a din of shvisa, that you have to rest, it's the Iser of Hotzah. Can't carry something from one Rishus to another Rishus. So the Masechta wanted to start off not with an Isser, a Bona, or so Isser, but no. With the one Malacha that's going to tell you definitively that there's a Chiv Shvisa on Shabbos. Good.
Yeah. Wait, so we're saying that the reason the Rambam didn't include this as a reason is because it was so obvious?
The Rambam's saying that it is Mishum Hotzah. But not Mishum Hotzah in Rashi's sense that it's...
Taver Davar is
yeah.
This idea?
Okay. Not in Rashi's sense that an Akira is already Tchilas Hotzah, and we're worried that if you pick something up in your house and you're going to walk outside. But it's, what underwrites or the mechayiv of Meleches Hotzah is a shvisa that you're resting at home. So the Rabbana now extended that to a broader shvisa even inside the home with Kalim. But essentially it's the same mechayiv of Meleches Hotzah.
I just feel like the examples brought in the Mishnah aren't really...
Mishnah Daf Beis.
Yeah.
Right.
They aren't really screaming at you like shvisa. Like handing one thing to another, like a no, handoff.
That's exactly why it's shvisa. It's usur. So a handoff, the most passive thing, literally nothing is happening, and it's usur.
Yeah, but
right?
The whole
literally
point
nothing
trying
is
to say
happening.
That, yeah, hotzah is encompassing active things, right? Hotzah is encompassing like things that are the opposite of shvisa, right?
So kal v'chomer, if like even this most passive thing, guy standing on the doorstep. And is moving stuff into the house is asur on Shabbat, so go from there.
I think you're right. I think you're right that the first mission is not like the most expansive. But you don't want to start off with like zeras of tiltal either. So we're starting off with Hotzah Daraisa. But even Hotzah Daraisa is a much more liberal definition of Malacha, or of Isser Shabbos Daraisa than anything else that you'll have on Ayin Gimel or Davos Malachos. I'm going to reinforce this in a second. Yeah.
I mean, I like it conceptually, but I just don't think it's a pretty good strong reading of the Rambam. I think the Rambam, like, he actually has two halachos, where he talks about kind of like how it's all about Heker, and he's very clear that it's about Heker, and he doesn't...
But what is Shvisa Hanikaras? What is Shvisa Hanikaras on Shabbos? So it's not building Shvisa Hanikaras on Shabbos? It's not writing Shvisa Hanikaras?
Well,
or
I mean,
Shvisa Hanikaras in Isser of Hotzah's Chafatzim Mibayis Labayis?
I mean, he thinks, right, the Rambam kind of builds it up as an expansion of Davar Davar. And
Daber Daber is not going to be an Isser Daraisa. Right? Daber Daber is a pasuk that tells you...
But he builds it up from there. He says that right, kind of we're building from this understanding of right, trying to differentiate between Chol and Shabbos to trying to differentiate in terms of our tiltal between Chol and Shabbos. And
so what differentiates... What's the malacha that differentiates the most between Chol and Shabbos? So couple that... Couple the nature of Hotzah with the kasha that all the Rishonim here have on the Rambam. Why do you ignore these Gemaras that say Tiltos Mishum Hotzah? That's maybe the answer that the Rambam's kind of reading this into the Malacha of Hotzah. Right. So either there's a problem where the Rambam got it from, right? Or you're saying that the Rambam had a certain understanding of the Malacha. Those are the two options. Or you could go with the Megalos and say the Rambam meant, you know, Chad of Yod Kamar. There are more reasons for Shvisa Nikaris. There's a lav of Shabbos. There's maybe an Isser Daraisa, maybe an Isser Rabbanan, that is very much associated with the Isser of Hotzah. That's the lav of Tchumen. Aliba de Rabbi Akiva especially. So how do you know it's associated with Hotza? Same pasuk. Al Yetze Ishmim Koma B'yom HaShabbos. So our Gemara? Gemara in Erevin on Yudzayinim and Beis. So the Gemara on Yudzayinim and Aleph, or the Mishnah over there, said that there are four things you don't have to do in the Machane of Milchama. So they're potter from Mechitzas Yadayim. Three things at least. I'm sorry, there are a bunch of things. But one of them is Mechitzas Yadayim, Demai, and Mila Arev. They don't have to separate Demai. They don't have to separate Meiser from Demai. They don't have to be Notal Yadayim. And they don't have to do an Erev. They don't have to do an Erev in the Machane. So the Gemara asks, what's this Erev referring to? How could it be potter Mila Arev? On the Be'er Lo Shanol Erev Chatzeros. That's referring to combining Eruvei Chatzeros. Aval Eruvei Tchumen Chayavin. Why are they Chayav and Erev Tchumen? Rachel, why are you Chayav and Erev Tchumen? Because Midaraisa, according to who?
No.
Okay, where we saw in our Gemara in Samach Tassim Aleph and Shabbos. According to Rabbi Akiva, Tchumen is also Midaraisa. Tchumen is also according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Chia, Lokin al Erev Tchumen Dvar Torah. You get Malkus, if you violate Tchumen, Midaraisa. So what's the Isser of Tchum? So you can't leave your city. You can't, walking out of your city a certain distance. Either Alpayim Amma, 2000 Amos, or a certain number of meal. Can't leave your city. Where's it learned out? From Sigmar asks, Maskef, you get Malkus, Maskef for Rabbi Yonasan, V'chilokin Alav Sheba'al, do you get Malkus on a lav that's formulated in the Torah with the Velashon of Al? So Maskef for Vacha Bar Yaakov, Elamiata Dechsev Al Tifne El Ovas Vayidonim, clearly you do. Second bin is question. So Rabbi Yonasan Hachi Kashle, Sigmar says, his real question was, Lav Shanitan Lazharas Misas Bezdin, the whole Lav Shanitan Lazharas Misas Bezdin ain't Lokin Al. We have a principle that if you have a lav, which could get Misa, so you don't get Malkus for that lav. So why is Tchumen a lav anitam lazharas misas bezdin? Thank you.
It depends if it's in the same... I don't know, there are two ways of celebrating it. Either it's
right.
The same... Because you learn two things from the same word.
Excellent.
And you're learning... I don't remember which one was Rashi.
Was Tosos?
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, because they're both learned out from the Pasuk, Val Yetze Ish Mim Koma B'Yom HaShabbos. That tells you, A, an Isser of Tchumen. B, it tells you an Isser of Hotza. So since you get Misa for Hotza, so how could you get Malkus for Tchumen? That's a very strange question. That's the Havamina of the Gemara.
Rashi
is for the Maskana, right?
I mean, it's for the Havamina.
Okay. So the Havmina, or certainly the Havmina of the Gemara, is that you're learning both Tchumen and Hotza from the very same pasuk of Al Yetze Ish Bimkomo. It tells you, A, you can't leave your house. It tells you, B, you can't carry things out of your house. So then what's the Maskanos? The Gemara says, no, Mikse, Amar Ravashi, Mikseiv Al Yotzi, Al Yetze Iksiv. The Torah formulates it, telling you that there's an Isser of Al Yetze, which is referring to Tchumen. The Torah doesn't formulate it, telling you that there's an Isser of Hotza. So therefore, it's not considered a lav anitam lazharas misas bezdin. Why? So according to Rashi, it's because the Gemara is rejecting that Hotza is learnt out from Al Yetze Ish Bimkomo. It's not Al Yotzi Bechlal, it's Al Yetze. So Tchumen has its own source. Tosos denies that. And Tosos says, even Lamaskana, both Hotza and Tchumen are learnt out from Al Yetze Ish Bimkomo. Aye, why is it not a lav anitam lazharas misas bezdin? Because right, the Lashon of the Kra is referring to Tchumen, and that tells you that the main limud is for Tchumen, and the subsidiary limud is for Hotza. This is Tosas Lashitasam, where? Exactly. Tosas Nafbezam and Aleph says you need two psukim for Hotza, one for Hachnasa, one for Hotza, one for the Ani, one for the Baal Bayis. We'll see that. And Tosos, one of the psukim that Tosos quotes is Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo. So clearly Tosos learns the maskana that Al Yetze still applies to Hotza. Now this, in and of itself, is very strange. Hotza is a malacha d'oraisa of Shabbos, or so it seems, according to Rabbi Chanano, to the Mishnah, Chayav Achatas. And yet the main limud from the Pasuk is referring to Isser Tchumin. Tchumin is definitely not a malacha. You get Malkus. It's a lav. Lav d'araisa. But Hotzah is the only the secondary limud from that same Pasuk that tells you Tchumin. It's very strange. Why do they share this same source? Is there any relation? Is there common ground between the Isser of Hotzah, which is a malacha, and the Isser of Tchumin? So what do we know about this? Now, if there is, by the way, this would be very telling. It would be very telling for us in defining Hotzah as a malacha gruahi. Meaning the fact that Hotzah is in the same pasuk as something that's not defined as a malacha b'chlal, and that something doesn't have malchus, or Misa, something that doesn't have Misa, it only has Malkus, so that would kind of point in the direction that Hotzah is really lower down on our scale of Yisurei Shabbos. It's not going to be as Chomer as everything else. So what evidence do we have that Hotzah is actually related to the Isser of Tchumen?
Sorry, it would be, if we have two other
okay.
So why would it
be? Because it would mean that it's conceptually related to something that's just a Lav, right? So this is going to depend on whether we think that this, according to Rashi, maybe the Habmin of the Gemara that links Tchumin and Hotzah is broken the Maskana. And the Maskana, there's no connection. According to Tosfos, though, we're keeping that. So we have to look, are there properties that are shared by the Isser of Hotzah and the Isser of Tchumin?
I mean, you have different Eruvim, but the concept of creating an Eruv to extend boundaries.
Okay. I think it's interesting, Shaila, whether we assume that Eruv Tchum and Eruv Chatzeros is a conceptual relationship, not just a nominal one. Like Erev, what's the Erev you do on Yontif Shabbos? Erev Tafshiland is not,
right.
You wouldn't say it's conceptual related to Tchumen or. So that's the question over there.
But you wouldn't assume that if you have Erev Chatzeros, you could also presumably walk those 2,000 months plus from whatever the Erev.
You could, but only because you've created an artificial Chatzer. So once you have a Chatzer, halachically, you could walk from there.
I would show that it's not just nominal, at least.
Is there anything about the story from which the pasuk comes from? Ayetzeish
bim kom v'yom ha-shabbos?
Because the problem there seems to be bringing in the mod, it's not it's weird that it's ayetzeish.
I mean, should we? No, the Torah's telling you don't go out to even get the mod. I mean, the Isser is not the Akira Saman, the Isser is going out to take it. Right. So we have an interesting Gemara in Pezayinim base. Are you saw the Gemara?
Yeah.
So this is a fascinating Gemara for many reasons. And we'll see there's a Pnei Yoshua here who just is sensational. I don't know if you saw it. So the Gemara in Pei Zayinim Beis says that there's machlokas about Shabbos Mara. Whether there's machlokas whether Shabbos was given at Mara. The Gemara says, "Kamiflagi Shabbos Demar." The Chassid Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. This is on top of Pezayinu Beis. Va'amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Kasher Tzivcha B'Mara. Ma'ar Savar Shabbos Ifkud, Atchumin Lo Ifkud. Ma'ar Savar Atchumin Navi Ifkud. So Machlok asks whether they're commanded on Shabbos in Mara without Tchumin. They're commanded on Shabbos in Mara with Tchumin. Okay, look at Rashi. Atchumin Lo Ifkud. Hilkach kishenasu mirfidim nasu b'Shabbos. Since they weren't commanded on tchumin, so they're able to travel on Shabbos. Shelo huzru lelech yotzer milpaim abba, because there's no iser tchumin in Mara. Now this would seem to indicate that the iser of tchumin is not so essential to iser Shabbos. Right? After all, you could have Shabbos in Mara without the iser of tchumin. And many rishonim, we'll see later. Many rishonim hold that even bizman hazeh there's no iser tchum d'oraisa. Tchum is only mijaban b'zman hazeh. Okay, so tchum is not essential to our notion of Shabbos. Tosus over here is unhappy. Tosus d'rmaskol atchumin lo ifkud. Ein tzarech lomar da'asir k'rebi Akiva. It's the third tos on the page. What do you mean atchumin lo ifkud? That assumes that tchumin is d'oraisa. Right, so you're going to tell me this Gemara is only according to Rebbe Akiva who holds that tchumin is d'oraisa? No. Damar tchumin d'oraisa. D'ha mashma l'kuli alma Divisina lechol apachus ifkod atchumin. The lav dafka nok atchumin. El kolomar hotza. Shahay molichin imaim kol asher lehem. Mar savar hotza lo ifkod. Mar savar hotza ifkod. Very strange, right? According to Tosfos, so there was a Shabbos in Mara where Chad 38 malachos didn't have a malacha of Hotza. Hotza was only given later. Have Shabbos tada isar of Hotza? So that's one point. Existence of Shabbos tada isar of Hotza. But also Tosfos is pointing out the Gemara refers to the isar of Hotza as tchumen. Right, almost as if the word tchumen itself equally encompasses the malacha d'oraisa of hotza. Well, so the Ramban here also makes this point. Ramban on Pezayin on the base. And Ramban has two other suggestions. Vim tomar, v'hari hasam k'siv al yetza ish mim komo, v'haynu tchumen. So ikal meymar b'sinai nemar el shenichta bim komo. Okay, fine. Mefurish betosos, tehu adin lehotza delo ifkud. Hey, chayim alichin kelim ba'olim. Tosos is bothered by how do they carry. So it's true that you're allowed to walk out of the tchum, but how do they take down their tents and everything? So the Ramban says that's why Tosos wanted to get rid of hotza also, to explain how you could unpack your tents and take things off the camels. Then Ramban suggests something else. But efshar dalav dimechamer lo ifkud diyisrei lavin hay. No, maybe Bnei Yisrael were commanded in hotza. Just the only thing they weren't commanded in was mechamer, which is only a lav. So all melachos existed even in Mara. Lavin didn't exist. Meaning he's trying to mitigate the chiddush that there was a Shabbos without an Isra melacha d'oraisa. Inami, savi la command amar al yotzi v'tchumin mi'ari miklat gamri. Fine. Or v'yesh omrim d'tchumin d'hacha haynu hotza. Why? How could you refer to tchumin as hotza? The Dal Ramos Bershus Arabim Vershuyos the Yachid Rabim Tchumin Mikri. Maybe the word Tchum also refers to the Vershuyos of Rishus Yachid and Rishus Arabim. So the Isser, or the word that encompasses the Isser of Tchumin, is essentially the same, or just a translation of the term of Rishuyos. The Netziv here in the Merome Sadeh is also bothered by this question of the Ramban, or this concern of the Ramban. How could you have a Shabbos, D'oraisa, and Mara without Isra of Hotza? So the Netziv says, doesn't mean that there was no Hotza. It means that there was no Isra Dal Ramos. Hotza and Hachnasa existed. Dal Ramos per Shisarabim didn't exist. What?
That's two steps removed from the Gemara.
Why?
The Gemara says Tchumen.
Tchumen, right. And he's saying, no, unless you say something else, unless you say that Dalet Amos Pershus Arabim is more connected to the Isser Tchum than Rishus Yachid and Rishus Arabim. That's possible. We'll have to see that. But what's interesting for the Netziv is that he's assuming that it's less problematic to not have Dalet Amos Pershus Arabim than to have Hotza and Achnasa. The Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer on the Gemara here has another suggestion, and he says maybe what existed here is only the Hotza, the Isra Hotza of the Ani. But the Isra Hotza, maybe what existed here is only the Isra Hotza of the Ani. But the Isra Hotza of the Baal Bayis didn't exist yet. So once again, he's motivated by the same concern. He doesn't want to say that Hotza at all didn't exist on the Shabbos, because then it would be hard to say it had a Shem Shabbos. But one component of Hotza didn't exist. So whereas Tosos earlier said, maybe you need one Gzeres HaKasa to tell you Hotza Da'ani, and another Gzeres HaKasa to tell you Hotza Da'ashir, maybe one of those components didn't exist until the Mishkan. It's also in some sort of a compromise.
Does that help you with carrying all their tents?
What?
Does that help?
You know, maybe it's only taking something from packing up from Rosh Hashanah, but not actually going into Shazam. I have to look back at it. I think he thinks it helps you. That's for sure. We'll pick up with the Pnei Yeshua here and his comment on Tav Tosfos. What we see from this Gemara is a number of A, just the fact that the Gemara here has a connection to Tchumen. Very nice. The fact that Tosfos thinks that Tchumen is referring to Hotzah. The concern of the Ramban that it can't be that you have a Shabbos without Hotzah, so maybe we'll say it's a Shabbos without the lav of Tchumen, that's okay. Or a Shabbos without the lav of Mechamer, that's okay. The distinction of the Netziv that it's okay to say that you have Shabbos without Dalaramas per Shisarabim, it's not okay to say that you have Shabbos without Hotzah and Achnasa. And then the internal distinction of the Chassam Sofer between a Hotzah de Anya and a Hotzah de Ashir, it's okay to say that one of those components of Hotzah didn't exist. Now, see, this is a very fascinating Pnei Yeshua to try to answer the question of the Tav Tosfos over here on Pezayin Beis. Tosfos points out that there is a problem in the calculation. The Gemara in Kol Kisvei says, "Emole lo shamar Yisrael al beis shabbosos, so loya sholit behem meuma," or something like that. I mean, no one would have been able to start up with Bnei Yisrael. They would have kept two Shabbosim. Tosfos points out that if you hold that the first Shabbos they kept was already in Mara, then there's no reason why they shouldn't have had two Shabbosim before the story of Mekoshesh. Tosfos is a Bitzarachin. So we'll see. The Pnei Yeshua here has a very clever answer to take care of that. Good. So we'll pick up next week to finish up the relationship between Tchumen and Hotzah. And then we'll move on to the relationship between Hotzah and the Gemara in Horios, why Hotzah is considered a Guf Echad and all the other Malachos aren't. And then we'll get more into the difference of why exactly Hotzah is defined as a Malacha Grua, different Svaras of the Rishonim on that base. So we'll pick up with those topics.